Welcome to Money Talks with Melissa B. We're going to be talking about you and your life, how to take control of your finances, ditch the debt, and claim the power of your money so that you can follow your dreams. So get comfy and let's chat. Hello, friends. So we are back for a bonus episode. I am talking today with my friend, Stephanie Fegger. She is the amazing author of a fantastic best-selling book that you can get on Amazon or from any bookseller at this point. And the backstory about how we met is my husband and her and I all worked together at a movie theater when we were teenagers. And we didn't see each other for years, and then we have come back together in this tiny little town of Louisville that is large and small at the same time, and we have been cheering each other on in our lives and our businesses, and I wanted to bring her on to talk to you guys about a super fun topic. So... Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Hi, it's so good to be here. And you're right, it's so weird when I sit back and think about the fact that it was like 20 years ago. Like, we've known each other for 20 years. I don't feel that old, right?
No, we're not. We're not that old.
No, but it just goes to show that some really beautiful friendships can happen at young ages and then they evolve. And it's just neat how life brings people together when you need it most.
And I feel that way very much about our relationship is... We came together when we needed each other.
Absolutely. So. As moms, as businesswomen, as human beings, and everything under the sun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool to cheer each other on.
So I had a super fun conversation with you about the story that you want to share with listeners today. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to come on and do like this interview style. I'm not an interviewer, and that's what everybody does, and I'm just not down for it. So... I want to hear this story that I think is super hilarious, that I think that everyone will love. So share your story with us.
Sounds good. Well, when I was thinking about what is a topic that would be really, really be relevant to your audience, people who care about how money can impact their lives in good ways, it came back to perspective for me. And perspective's at the heart of what I'm all about. So my book, Color Today Pretty, is an inspirational guide to living a life in perspective. And I've started to realize that when you have perspective, you got it all. You know, you can truly cherish your moments, you can cherish your relationships, you can cherish your money. And money in a sense of not putting it on a pedestal, but instead allowing money to do something to help propel your life. You don't see it as a crux. You don't see it as a necessity. You don't see it as the only thing that matters, but instead it's a important element to helping you get where you want to get go. So I'm laughing too, because literally it took me back to my lifestyle when I graduated college. So I graduated college and I moved in with my mom, and then I quickly realized that was a bad decision. Get out. Love you, Mom, if you're listening. But we needed to have different lives in different places. So I remember sitting down with my dad, who's a budgeter, who I think you and him get along great.
Absolutely.
And I said, okay, Dad, how am I going to afford this? You know, and so we created a budget and stuck to it. And so I purchased a condo, and me, myself, and my cat moved into this itty-bitty little condo. Now, at that time, I was making pennies, like probably under poverty line. There was no way I could actually probably afford this condo if I didn't live to my budget. So we did. Every month, actually every week, every Saturday, my dad and I met and we would rectify the budget every Saturday. I lived to the penny. I remember I was dating my husband at the time, and he would come to the house, and I'm a vegetarian and he's not. And he would go looking in my cupboard. I'm like, don't touch anything. Yeah, I'm going to run out of food and it won't be in my budget. So anyways, I actually lived on a $70 budget for a month. That was my monthly food budget. My food budget was $70 a month.
Which is crazy. You all, $70 a month. It's totally doable.
It's doable.
For one person.
And I did it. And he would come, and my husband would come over, my boyfriend at the time, he'd come over, I would cook dinner. And after, I would make myself a portion, and then I would package up lunch for the next day before I saw what additional leftovers were available for me to finish eating. And he would always, he told me later, he would leave and go to McDonald's when he left because I never fed him enough. But it was what I needed. It was how I shifted how I looked at my life and realized that what was important to me was being on my own, but not getting into crazy debt and making really smart decisions. So fast forward a couple of years and my husband and I decide to get married. And I'm still living in that little condo. And by this point, I've had some raises and promotions at work. So the budget wasn't as tight. And then I had his income. So together, we were looking at things a little bit different. But what my dad did for me at such a young age is he shifted my mindset. He made me to realize how you can live under your means instead of over your means. And when you live under it, then if a crisis happens and you need new tires on your car, or you have a birthday party you want to plan for and you want to splurge a little bit on your $70 food budget, right? You can. So at any rate, my husband and I, the first time we went grocery shopping, I will never forget this. Because I, for so many years, had just gone down and I knew what I had to get and I knew how much it would get me. So I still had that mentality. We're going down the aisle and he starts picking up stuff and putting it in the cart. And I look at him like, why is that box of brownies in my cart? Or why did you splurge on, you know, an extra can of soup? Like, we won't eat that soup this month. And he looked at me and he's like, are you kidding me? And I said, put that back. And he go, and it opened a conversation for us in the middle of Kroger to figure out and really, you know, you're supposed to go through marriage counseling to before you get married to make sure you're compatible. But sometimes those conversations happen in the weirdest places. And so here we are in the middle of Kroger and I look at him and I said, the reason I've been able to be financially sound and make smart decisions is because I look at things like this from two different buckets. There's a bucket of wants and there's a bucket of needs. And I live in this world of I'm always going to have what I need. I'm going to invest in my needs first. And if I have any flexibility, then occasionally I can get a want. But it's always about the needs. And he looked at me, he's like, but the brownies are a need. And I'm like, they're not a need. Put them back. Like, but maybe they're a need when we have a birthday coming up. Anyways, we've been married almost 10 years now, and we still laugh about this conversation of, but is it a want or is it a need? And we've really looked at that even in the middle of us building a house right now. There's several things that we've come up against, and we ask ourselves that question. It's like, how critical is this to the necessities of our life? Or is it just because it would be really cool if, or what would people think if, or gosh, I want to be with the Joneses, you know? That to me is a want, and the life is about having a few wants, but if you had every want, you would never cherish anything. Mm-hmm. Your life would see everything as equal. So we really try to live our lives looking at the difference between a want and a need. And as a parent, we've now established that to our kids. People laugh at us because our kids don't get a lot of sugar. There's a lot of reasons for that. They don't need it. They don't need it, but they don't need it in two different ways. Their bodies don't need it, but it's also a poor investment sometimes for us because it doesn't nourish their bodies. So when they get a little bag of gummies, my kids think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And sure, other parents might look at us like we're crazy, but in the grand scheme of things, we're trying to teach them at a young age that you're going to value your wants differently if you don't get them all the time.
Absolutely. We're the same with sugar in this house. The kids are so excited when it's a sugar-filled holiday because they're like, oh, let's load up.
Yes.
It'll last us.
Absolutely. And, you know, everything in moderation is great. And I feel like that with how you look at your money and how you allow your money to propel you. Again, it's all about perspective. So, you know, making really smart decisions and focusing on your needs when you need them is wonderful, but then hopefully it gives you a little buffer occasionally to be able to go and do a family vacation or to do a weekend getaway or something that's different, that's a want, but might be really critical and crucial and evolve into a need. I mean, it's my oldest wants to go out to eat all the time. And
me too.
Me too. I know. Like, I don't want to cook either, but think of how much money you spend. I mean, it's so not economically smart to go out to eat all the time. So I had to have a really deep, detailed conversation with him on this. I said, okay, Eli, you know, going out to eat occasionally is okay. You know, I try to keep you healthy and it's easier for me to do that when I control it. I said, but you like to go on vacation, don't you? And my, of course, my son loves going to the beach and we try really hard to save up and go each year if we can make it work. And I said, you know, if we went out to eat every single day, every single month of the whole year, mama and daddy would not have the money to be able to afford to take you on vacation. Well, it was like a light bulb went off and it made him realize it's that whole difference between a want and a need. Sure, going out to eat is great. That would be a want. But you can't, if you do those wants, you might not be able to do another want.
Yeah, and understanding that resources are limited.
Absolutely.
I think that that's something that our children and almost all of us grown-ups need to learn.
I know.
That resources really are limited.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the beginning, you were very, I don't even like the word frugal, but you're very intentional.
Yeah.
And the big thing about that is it's for a season, for a reason, not forever.
Yep.
So you all did that early in your marriage. You made all the difficult decisions and now you're building your dream house.
Yep.
And making more difficult decisions.
Yeah.
Right? So
absolutely.
You said no to lots of boxes of brownies.
Yeah.
And now you're building a house with those those brownie boxes.
But you know the cool thing about that is back then it felt like I was giving up something. And what I realize now is I was actually creating a foundation on how to live. And how to live my life and how to let money help me do that, that it's not my driver. And so I still lived within that budget even after I got promotions. And then I started to be able to save.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you live under your means, you are able to save. And that's the only way we're able to build our home is
right.
Because of years and years of saving and of making some difficult decisions.
Yeah, it's hard with this instant gratification world that we live in. Everybody wants everything exactly when they want it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say yes to everything that you want now, you're in turn saying no to lots of potential things you could have in the future.
Absolutely.
So it's a really important thing to teach your children.
A want been, or a need.
Yeah, I would have loved to have learned that when I was younger. So
Yeah. You're
setting them up for success.
I hope so. You know, it's, this parenting thing is tough, right?
Yeah,
but
it really is.
I try to keep perspective through it all, and I try to teach them that. And when I sat down and was talking to my son about vacation, to him, that's a need. And so once you start to help them see and shift how they see things in those two buckets, then you help them understand that we will do everything we can to afford our needs, you know? And if that want becomes a need, then we have to make other difficult decisions. And it's all about making smart choices. My son wants to write a book, interestingly enough. And after my book came out, now he wants to write a book. So I'm teaching him right now what things he can do to save up to make that a reality. And this summer, we will be selling produce at a local farmer's market to help him save up. Now, could I figure out a way to financially support it? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm not going to.
Right.
Because I want him to learn the value of when you have a dream, when you have somewhere you want to go, you've got to save and make smart choices to get there.
Which is amazing. And I can't wait to read his book.
Right now it's comic books, so we'll see.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And to see him excited about that and also learning the value of the dollar and what that can do for him and the choices he makes is a big deal.
Right. Teaching your kids how to work hard for the things they want is super important.
Mm.
And I have found the most frequent thing that happens to me in my parenting is that lessons that I'm trying to teach my children, I'm recognizing that they're lessons I need to better learn myself.
Absolutely.
So I feel like parenting is the mirror for what we need to learn. So every time I'm teaching my kids something, I'm like, oh yeah, like I could probably learn that better myself. I should work on that.
Well, that's how my writing is. So when I write, I'm writing it for me. When I wrote my book, I wrote every chapter for me. It was a way to help me dissect life and dissect a situation and figure out what I could do better next time. And I've gotten such great feedback from beautiful, amazing people that I've met over the last year that this book came out, who've told me my books changed their life. And what they don't realize is, in return, when I have a tough day, the messages within there are just as important to me. Because you're right, it's this mirror. It's we can help and impact other people, but in doing so, we have the capacity to change ourselves. So as if, you know, if those listening today are parents or have the capacity to be influential on someone, imagine as you teach someone else the value of focusing on their needs in life and finding ways to financially support that. Imagine what that can do for you and make you shift how you see your next Target trip, right?
I love it. I just have to stay away from Target.
Yeah, I know
that I can't control myself, so I just don't walk in the door.
But see, that right there is making that conscious decision. I'm the same way. So, you know, I get excited about these deals, and then I come home with all these deals that I don't use. So if you just don't put yourself in the environment for that, then you're setting yourself up for better success.
I'm all about shopping abstinence. I just stay away from it altogether.
Yes.
I'm not even a big shopper, but I found that that's the easiest way for me not to spend money is to not put myself in the situation to spend money.
Well, and you just, you know, you have to remind yourself at the end of the day, like, what is it that I need to make it through today? Did I really need that new outfit? No, probably not.
Yeah, I think that probably there's about a million things that you could do. Like, there's so many times that I don't want to cook dinner, and I'm like, oh, I just want to go out to eat somewhere, and then I open my pantry, and I'm like, you could feed a family for a month
with
what I have in my pantry. Stop complaining and just cook something.
And it's probably better when you do that. I mean, how many times do you go out to eat, and you've invested all this money, and the food you have is cold, it's got a hair in it, you know, it's got, there's something about it that's not right, or it makes your stomach unsettled later. So in the grand scheme of things, so many things that we invest our money in like that are, they don't bring us the joy that we feel like we might get from it.
Absolutely.
Might as well, might as well just use what you have. I actually love that. I am someone, my favorite thing is when, like, my shampoo runs out. I use it to the very, very, like, I'm shaking that thing out, and then I throw away and get a new one. And it's not because I enjoy buying new things, but I enjoy finishing things. I love using things up. That has, like, turned into, like, a, I don't know, like, a piece of me, is I can't wait until I've used something's full capacity. And that's not because I want to get something new, but because it proves to me that I have allowed something to reach its fullest.
There's something so exciting about using a pen all the way to the end.
There is.
Right? We have, like, everybody probably has a drawer full of pens in their house somewhere.
Yep.
But using a pen from start to finish, I don't know. There's something so satisfying about that.
There is. But the world we live in today, we get obsessed and compulsive about purchasing more pens before we even need them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I try to be really intentional. I love that word that you used earlier. Really intentional about, you know, what perfume do I have now? I want to use it. Let's use it before my next birthday and I want to ask for another one, right?
Right.
And that's another thing. When I look at my wants and my needs, I have allowed the bucket of wants to be a place where when a special holiday comes around and people don't know what to get me, that's when I allow a splurge, right? So for the last 7 years for my birthday, you know, my husband and I love the zoo, but I see that as a nice want. And so my dad for my birthday has bought us memberships there for our family. And that to me is a beautiful thing because I don't know if I would invest in that. I mean, maybe, but I'm allowing someone who wants to give something to us to create an experience and create something of value that I might not have done for myself. And if you focus so much on your needs, then those special occasions as they come about are going to mean so much more to you.
Yeah, they're genuinely going to be special.
Absolutely. It's not like it's an outfit you would have gone and bought anyways.
Right.
It is something that you really cherished.
Well, that is so fun. I have so enjoyed having you on.
You'll never look at me the same, right? You'll say, once a need, Stephanie. Which, I love is this it. A need or a want?
I love it. Every time I go to the grocery store and I see brownies, I'm going to think of you. I try to stay out of that aisle in general.
Smart. But you're supposed to shop the perimeter of a grocery. Tip.
I always have a grocery list. I go to the exact same grocery because I know exactly where everything is, and it minimizes all the extra stuff that I want to put in that cart, because if I don't, I'm going to leave with like $250 worth of groceries, and that's just crazy talk.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks for letting me come today.
Thank you. And everybody, go check out Stephanie's book. It is amazing. I can't tell you how many times I cried reading it. I had to stop reading it when the kids were around because they kept saying, Mommy, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. Leave me alone. I'm just inspired. Okay. So check it out. It is fantastic. And thanks for coming and talking with me.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And we will talk to you all later. Have a fantastic day. If you all are enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. If you want more, head over to my Facebook page at Melissa Blandford Coaching for daily inspiration. And if there's anything you'd like to hear in an upcoming episode, please let me know. I would love to talk about it. You all have a wonderful week. Go out there and start taking control of your life.